ankle deep in the red dirt on the shores of the Aramanga Sea. This is Sean Binley's Blues with a Feeling. Thanks to the Aramanga Motel and Caravan Park in southwestern Queensland.
G'day there and welcome to this week's episode of Blues with a Feeling. At least a couple of things worth celebrating this week. And I hope it's okay if I concentrate your hearts and ears on two of them. Jen Myers and the Rough and Tumbles debut album is out. I've been playing you a couple of songs in the lead up to the release, and I'm thrilled to be able to feature the record for you this week. It's quite extraordinary, driven by the multiple layers of talent that lies within the Rough and Tumble. A band born of two of Jen Myers' songwriting partnerships with the guitar players Jeremy Edwards and Mitch Power. She's a wonderfully accomplished singer, Jen Myers, and a heartfelt and passionate songwriter who writes about love and loss and life, and that is surely the blues. Well-educated musically growing up in the US and since, she's become a big part of a songwriting scene here in Australia that has seen her work with the likes of Shane Nicholson and Mark Scholtes, amongst many others. She's a top-notch teacher. She's produced three excellent albums in Australia in the last 10 years, and frankly, she's a total badass. And she's my guest on the show this week as I ask her about the band and the album, the songs and the people and the relationships that are to be found within. But even that's not enough for me this week, because it was T-Bone Walker's birthday the other day, and T-Bone is the man. Yours, mine, and ours, and Jen Myers's. The first blues man I played on this show when it began back in 1994. His style and sound captured me quite unlike any other artist back in the early days of my love of the blues. And after listening to him so many times over 35 years, his music still sounds to me like perfection. And so, I've thrown together a half dozen of my favourite T-Bone Walker songs to get us in the mood before we get to my guest, Jen Myers, and the Rough and Tumble. This is Blues with a Feeling.
Every night you write fan mail through the day, you keep your great big head in a scrapbook, yes, and you throw the cookbook away. Bobby Sock, baby, I've got to let you go. You've got a head full of nothing but stage, screen, and radio. Now you treat me like a stranger, you don't have a word to say. I ask you if you love me, you said, oh, what will Frankie say? Yes, Bobby Sock, baby, I've got to let you go. You've got a head full of nothing but stage, screen, and radio. No matter how many hearts you have broken, no matter how many tears you make fall, I still love you. I'm just waiting for your call. No matter how many times you have left me and said you never really cared at all, I still love you. I'm just waiting for your call. Remember, dear, the first time you left me, I couldn't say a thing to make you stay. Believe me, dear, I'd never talk about you. I'll just pray that you come home someday. No matter how long I'm out on the outside, no matter how many times I've been down, I still love you. I'm just waiting for your call. No matter how many times I'm down, I still love you. I'm just waiting for your call.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, way down here in Texas, and you're listening to Sean Bendley, Blues with a Feeling, baby, Blues with a Feeling.
I've got a letter from my baby, this is what she had to say. I've got a letter from my baby, this is what she had to say. Please tell me something that will drive these lonesome blues away. Everything would be okay. I told her not to worry, everything would be okay. For I know the secret of how to drive the blues away. And I will do the rest. You've been a good little girl and you deserve it. Up to you. Now you know the answer, the rest is up to you. Put your trust in me, darling, I will surely pull you through. I've got a West Side baby. She lives way across town. I've got a West Side baby. She lives way across town. And when I'm with my baby, I don't want a soul around. Now she's kind of tall and lanky. She's always dressing swell. She sets my soul on fire when she rang my front door bell. Yes, I've got a West Side baby. She lives way across town. And when I'm with my baby, I don't want a soul around. Now Monday morning early, someone banged up on my door. I knew it was my baby, 'cause she's never knocked before. So I laid in bed and wondering, who could the caller be? I thought it was the insurance man, 'cause he's been heckling for me. Crazy about my West Side baby. She lives way across town. And when I'm with my baby, I don't want a soul around.
This is Sean Binley's Blues with a Feeling, brought to you by the Aramanga Motel in Caravan Park, smack dab in the middle of the red dirt plains of southwestern Queensland.
It's great to be with you as always. This week, remembering the granddaddy of all the greats of electric guitar, Aaron T-Bone Walker, who started it all. West Side Baby there, and before that, Lonesome Woman Blues, and a couple more T-Bone classics, I'm Waiting for Your Call, and Bobby Sox Baby. Righto, a couple more from T-Bone, and then I'll be joined by this week's guest, Jen Mize, to talk about her new band, Jen Mize and the Rough and Tumble, their debut album, the challenges of putting together a band of this talent and size, and writing this remarkable collection of songs. But before we do that, I'm not quite sure if I've had enough T-Bone Walker just yet. Call it Stormy Monday? Bruh, have you met Tuesday?
They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. They call it Stormy Monday, but Tuesday's just as bad. Wednesday's worse, and Thursday's also sad. Yes, the eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play. Eagle flies on Friday, and Saturday I go out to play. Sunday I go to church, Then I kneel down and pray.
Hey, y'all, this is Jen Mize from The Rough and Tumble, and you're listening to Shaky Sean on Blues with a Feeling.
Jen, congratulations on the debut album by The Rough and Tumble. I think it's just magnificent. And I know you've been working on it for a couple of years, and we've gone through the pandemic and everything else, which has made creative pursuits a very different process. How does it feel now that the album's been released? You've got a couple of songs out, some wonderful reviews coming in for it. It must be Must be a good feeling.
It does really feel good, Sean. I mean, it you're right. It's been a long time coming. I think Jeremy and I started writing a few of the songs from the record. Our first writing weekend was back in 2018. So, I went back through the demos that we recorded a week or so ago and was shocked to find out it was 2018 when we first started writing tunes for this record. So it's been a long process, but an enjoyable one. But, you know, life and the pandemic slowed us down a little bit, but never going to stop us from doing what we want to do.
So tell me about the evolution of the Rough and Tumble. It started with you and Jeremy writing there, as you said. How did you establish that working relationship, and how has it progressed to get us to this point? 5 years later. 5 years later. Jeez.
5 years later. I know. It's crazy. It's felt pretty natural. Everything developed quite organically. I knew before writing with Jeremy that I was going to that my next project was going to be a band project, and that I wanted to not only have a bunch of players that I know and love, but have a bunch, you know, like have a bunch of guys around me that I feel like I can write songs with, travel with, hang with, and that we're not going to drive each other crazy. So it had to be a slow, gradual process. I knew I was going to go in with my ride or die, Mitch Power. I knew he was going to be in the band. And then when Jeremy and I met at the DAG Sheep Station in Nundle while teaching the songwriters camp there, it was just super easy. We have a lot of the same musical influences and musical tastes and likes and history and all that. And we'd both had a bunch of friends told us that we needed to write something with each other, that we needed to meet, and that we'd probably write something pretty cool. And we'd been hearing it from both sources for a few years before we decided that it was, you know, yeah, this feels right. We should do this. And then after Jez and I got together and wrote, I think we wrote four or five of the tunes in like one weekend at his place. Then everything started coming together. I wrote a few more tunes with Mitch, a bit of crossover stuff with Mark Schultes, who ended up producing a bit on the record. And then it was just a matter of finding the right guy. Once we had the songs kind of going and we knew what direction we were going musically, it was then picking the right guys for the band. And I had my sights set on a few, and I basically, Sean, I get what I want for the most part. Yeah. This time I definitely got what I wanted.
Feeling sweet and sly on a natural high. Baby, you are one in a million, causing trouble like a reckless child. We better grab it while we're still young. Well, you're making me feel something strange. I almost forget everything I've known. You got me jumping like it's the 4th of July, and I'm playing in a rock roll band. I'm on an elevator ride, and I don't want to fight it. We better grab it while we still can, while we still can. Well, you found me when I was down, but then, ooh, you knew just what I was missing. Brought me back to life and in record time. You never tried to keep a girl guessing. Well, you're making me feel something strange. I almost forget everything I've known. You got me jumping like it's the 4th of July, and I'm playing in a rock roll band. I'm on an elevator ride, and I don't wanna fight it. We better grab it while we still can, while we still can.
Zach to join the band. And then we decided we needed someone really tough, a really tough drummer who, you know, can play the country stuff, but can play the rock and roll and can do the shuffles and the swing stuff and really lock down heavy grooves. So we decided to go with Steve Fernley. And in asking Steve Fernley, when he said yes, we were all like over the moon. Excuse me. And then at that point, I had two lead guitarists and a rhythm section that I love. And I realized I definitely need some things to break up all that guitar.
You need some church in there.
I need some church. I need some definite church. And I wanted both church and super funky kind of mad scientist keys. I want somebody, you know, that can come in and play Hammond and just melt faces and provide that big rumble under everything. And someone who can, you know, bubble and comp under everything as well. But then someone who can just do a crazy whacked out clav solo that's so funky that, you know, like you don't know how to act. You know, I wanted that element, and I knew I had it in Andy Shrav, local Brisbane guy, you know, one of those peep musicians you meet that you're just like, okay, well, this guy's on another level completely, you know, and if you let him, he'll keep it to, you know, he'll give you what you want. If you tell him to, like, you know, oh, I'd like this part to be a little subtle and then this part. But if you let him off the chain, if you go, okay, man, this is you, get weird. He's going to get weird. And it's going to be that thing that makes us different from every other band that exists. So you let Andy Shrav do Andy Shrav. And at that point, I was... even with all that cooking, I knew that there were going to be horn parts. I was hearing these horn parts in my head. And I had met a few fellas when I was teaching at the McGregor Summer School in Toowoomba. Two horn players that I just fell in love with separately over the years, one trumpet, one sax, and didn't realize that they were really great mates until after I invited them both to be in the band. So they were both really excited. That's Tristan Rogers on trumpet and Matt Luff on saxophone. And so I've gotten really lucky with the group of fellas that we brought together. And in bringing them together, you know, telling them like, hey, this is a band, you know, obviously there's going to be situations where gigs come up and someone can't make it. So we'll have second players, but these are the dudes that are in my band. These are the guys. The sound of everything is based on what they each bring to the table. You know, Mitch and Jeremy and Andy are all really great songwriters as well. But I'm asking everyone to start songwriting for the second record already. We're all getting in there. When we did the horn parts for this first record, I, you know, had a bunch of stuff in my head and I took it to Tristan and, you know, he helped me make sense of everything. You know, I'd play parts into keyboards and he'd go, yep, let's, you know, what if we do this with trumpet part in here, you know? And so there's arrangements and then there's parts where I just let the boys be themselves. And it's, man, it's fulfilling. It's fulfilling to make music on this level with these type of people.
I can't sleep. Got these images of you rolling around my mind. Already in too deep. Your reputation says you ain't the loving kind. I told myself I had a good thing going. That don't seem to matter now. You got me all riled up, shaking and shook, panting like a cat on a hot tin roof. Oh, sweet love, I should know better. The fact that you and I can never be together's got me all riled up. Oh, riled up. Oh, 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 oh. is burning me alive. Can't let nobody see the five alarm I got going on inside. Well, you would think since I'm a grown ass woman, I know just how to put out all of this emotion. I can't for sure whether I'm coming or going.
Listening to Sean Binley's Blues with a Feeling.
Thanks for tuning in or downloading the show again this week, and for liking, following, commenting on, and sharing the Facebook page Sean Binley's Blues with a Feeling. Helping me get the word around about the show if you dig it is the best thing you can do for me, and the more people listening, the better the party. Jen Myers and the Rough and Tumble from the band's self-titled debut album, All Riled Up and Elevator. Two of the tracks that you've heard from this incredible new album over the last month. This week, of course, I'm featuring the album in its entirety for you. And Jen Myers, the owner of this incredible voice, is my guest, as you've already heard. By the way, at the top of that set, a couple more classics from the great man T-Bone Walker. Call it Stormy Monday and T-Bone Shuffle. Oh, and before I go any further, I must acknowledge the ongoing support of the show by the management of the Erromanga Motel and Caravan Park in southwest Queensland, now in its third year. How good is that? This is Blues with a Feeling.
Raising hands while I'm house sitting right outside your door. Are you asking enough? What about that wealth, all the gold on the shelves? Are you asking enough? What about the mother just trying to feed her daughter? Are you asking enough? Are you saving grace or just saving face? Are you saving grace or just saving face? Are you asking enough? Are you asking enough? Are you asking enough from that?
Sell yourself to a, you know, a possible bandmate who perhaps doesn't know what you've done over the course of your last 20, 25 years as a musician, not just here in Australia, but of course in the US where you began.
Well, I guess I really, I don't. My game is the sneaky long game, Sean. Yeah. And all the fellas that are in this band, they've been around me long enough to take in a bit of my history and a bit of what I do. They've all seen me play live and all, you know, they know my work ethic. But I don't try to sell myself to them. In fact, like I was just getting interviewed in Sydney over the last 2 days doing, you know, some promo for the record on a couple radio shows. And Jeremy and I were driving back to his place, you know, the night before last. And he was like, it's kind of great to, you know, get in the studio and sit there and get asked questions next to you, because I feel like I'm even getting to know you better. I feel like all this extra part of you that I don't know yet. And I think that's the way we all are with each other. You know, I feel the same way when, you know, they're asking questions and I'm learning more about Jeremy's history, about, you know, how his dad brought him to music, and he and his brother are both musicians, very excellent musicians. And, you know, it'll be the same for each of us in the band. I mean, you know, the music world is that place where you see everybody, and occasionally you get to spend some good time hanging out. But it's those times where you're, you know, it's those late night parties, the end of the night, where you're just sitting on a couch next to someone, just, you know, chin wagging, that you really get to know people. Yeah. It's hard to get to know everyone in depth, you know, when you're seeing somebody at a music festival going, hey, I caught that part of your set. That was awesome. Thanks. Fantastic. Okay. Yeah. I'll get hugs and I'll see you around.
Yeah. Passing in the backstage area.
Exactly. Everyone's on the way to, you know, either their next gig or, you know, having a quick, you know, respite between acts, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and the fellas of the Rough and Tumble, you know, they play with a bunch of different people because they're so sought after. Mm-hmm. They're in a few bands. It makes admin and trying to, you know, get everybody in the same place together difficult. I will not lie. It's hard to get an 8-piece band together. It's even harder when everybody's got gigs every place else. But it's that thing where in the Rough and Tumble, they're not just session players. They're not just side guys. They're the band. So their hearts are in it and they've got skin in the game. And I've always really believed in, you know, that style of band leading that, you know, that Duke Ellington used to talk about. It's just like, put the right people in the room and then walk away from the table. Just like, let them be themselves. You know, it's the same as producing records, you put the right people in the room, and you have to convince them that you want to hear what they have to say. It takes a little while because everybody's, you know, daunted. No one wants to step out of line. But once everyone realizes that you want their input and you want the reason why they're there is because they have what no one else has, and that's the thing you want, and you give them the space to do that, and wonderful things happen.
Come on in, girl. How you doing? Straight down the hall and to the right. The whole damn neighborhood is here and hanging out. We had the brisket smoking since late last night. Ooh, you just follow the sound of the music. It's all going on out the back of the house. Running around out on the lawn. Ash has got that fire licking up the sky. We all know it'll go to the crack of dawn. Ooh, you just follow the sound of the music. It's all going on out the back of the house. Picklebacks. Little brother's on a run to fetch his medicine, and Uncle Ray is a fall down drunk again.
I've always been a fan of Bukowski and a lot of the American, you know, novelists and poets and the gritty realism people and the you know, beat poets and things like that. I like being well read as a writer. It's just amazing to, you know, hear people say things and whatnot in their own voice, because I feel like that's, as a songwriter, being able to tap into that yourself and, you know, multiple voices, not everything needs to come from Jen's point of view.
Yeah.
So I've always been a deep fan, but I was reading that, the quote by Bukowski, that's like, you know, my dear, you know, find the thing you love most in this world and let it kill you. Let it take your all, like, let it take give it everything you have, you know, let it run you completely down. And I feel that way about love. I feel that way about friendships and about the music business. I feel like you just, there are some things in this world you can't give 10% of yourself to and expect anything in return. There are just some things you just have to give it everything you have and hope for the best and know that the chances are that it will end up, you know, taking everything from you and breaking your heart, but it's worth the gamble. Like, it's worth doing. Music is like that. I mean, music has just gotten harder and harder and harder to do over the last, you know, in so many ways it's gotten much harder, in so many ways it's gotten much easier. It's, you know, it's a quagmire. But it's one I relish being part of, so I wouldn't change it for the world. Yeah, Bukowski is about that. It's about surrender. It's about, you know, looking at things and going, you know, it's probably going to take everything I have, but it's going to be worth it and I'll have lived. Hey, everyone, this is Jen Mize from The Rough and Tumble, and you're listening to Blues with a Feeling with Shaky Sean Bentley.
If disaster isn't something I can change, if it's gonna keep coming, coming, come what may, well, I'd rather confront it face to face. If disaster isn't something I can change, if it's all decided anyway, and it makes no goddamn difference how I rage, well, I'm sure to take my place center stage. If it's all decided anyway, I'll listen to Bukowski. I'm gonna find that something and let it kill me. I don't know why, I don't even know myself. I don't know why, I don't even know myself. If it's always meant to be this hard, and we're destined to bleed every time we give our hearts, well, you can count on me, I'm sure I'll play my part. If it's always meant to be this hard, I'll listen to Bukowski. I'm gonna find that someone and let him kill me. I'm gonna let him kill me. Oh, I'll listen to Bukowski. I'm gonna find that someone.
Like to mix it up, Sean, and that's going to be, I mean, I've always liked to mix it up, and I think, you know, the fellas in the band, we're all in the same place, you know, that thing where if you really get to get to express yourself musically freely, it's going to bring out a lot of things in you. Cause so many times you're doing the gig, you're doing the next, you know, this next gig. So, and you're just trying to do the right thing by that gig. So these songs, some of which were, you know, songs that I wrote all by my onesies, and others were co-writes. Let's see. So 4 co-writes with Jeremy, when we went down to just do that weekend at his place, we wrote the duet, Lay Your Head Down. That was one of the first things he brought to me that he had it kind of bubbling away. And he's like, I've got this idea for this duet and I've been looking for the right person to sing this with. Lay Your Head Down is, you know, a Black Crowes inspired sexy duet, you know, about just relinquishing yourself to, you know, love, like allowing things to just happen. Then there's Where Do We Go From Here? And that one is the song about gun violence in America. You know, you look back and you go, wow, that was 2018. And, you know, there's a section of that song that's talking about the Parkland kids on the White House lawn. And unfortunately, we won't, you know, only just put the record out. And that song is still as poignant and valid today as it was in 2018. I wish that was not the case. I would be relieved if that song, you know, just didn't have its place in the world anymore. But unfortunately, it just seems to get more and more relevant. Then there's Askin' Enough. It's another song that Jeremy and I wrote on that trip. That one is definitely about my own personal frustrations with the evangelical church, those evangelical mega churches in the States. I used to be a youth pastor. And I think it's me speaking to the women of those churches, you know, trying to get them to realize that they're worth a whole lot more than just mothering, breeding, and being second to the men in their lives and you know, being led by their men all the time. I think we all start to get led astray if we only are led by men all the time. Yeah. There's really great men out there. I'm not anti-man. I'm just anti letting them run the whole gamut. Not good for anyone. And then the last one that we wrote together was Elevator Ride. And that one is just, you know, about, you know, meeting someone who makes you feel young again and free again. So, I mean, sexy, political, semi-religious, anti-religious, political, and then like super lighthearted, you know, so we do run the gamut for sure. I mean, when Jeremy and I wrote Elevator Ride, we were at the end of the weekend. His two lovely children, Flynn and Nina, had gone to bed, and Peggy, his lovely wife, had gone to bed, and we were sitting in their living room, you know, sitting there at the end of the night, Peggy and I having a glass of wine, talking politics. Jeremy's in the living room, noodling on the guitar and just bubbling away. And at one point he's like, okay, can we stop the politics talk and come write a song? And I'm like, yeah, of course. So we sat there and finished that song laughing, giggling. You can hear it on the demo. We're just, you know, whisper singing the whole thing so that we don't wake the family. And had, you know, it came out as our first single. So
in the early hours, just before the dawn, I'll be waiting alone. If we hesitate, the moment will be gone. And if push comes to shove, can leave your boots on. You're the medicine for all that's ailing me. Yeah, you're just the thing I need. I'd like to get my hands upon your remedy. Let's forget the bitter, and baby, taste the sweet. Let's get lost and take a chance and put a little faith in romance.
thanks to the Aramanga Motel in Caravan Park, on the long-forgotten shores of the Aramanga Sea in southwestern Queensland, playing music washed in the muddy waters of the Mississippi and beyond. This is Sean Binley's Blues with a Feeling.
From this week's Blues with a Feeling album feature, Jen Mize and the Rough and Tumble, that is Lay Your Head Down, and previous to that, Bukowski, Out the Back of the House and Asking Enough. My guest on this week's show is the band's Jen Mize, who's known me long enough, fortunately, not to be taken too aback at my instant connection to this wonderful collection of songs and incredible performances by Jen Mize and the Rough and Tumble.
Speaking of not playing it safe, can I just say that the first time I heard One of These Days, I was inspired to knock all the bottles off the table and get up on top of it in my yoga pants and dance with a big blonde python. Is that right, Jen? Am I in the right spot?
You're in the right spot, man. Yeah. Yeah, One of These Days came about. That's one that I wrote on my own. But it came about because I had a friend who, you know, had been working with someone on and off for years. And she'd done the thing like I was talking in Bukowski, where you just give your all over to someone and you give, you know, she'd been working with him for forever and giving him so much energy and so much, you know, faith and friendship and all those things. And it was unfortunate, but he chose to do some things that, you know, basically showed her exactly how much she meant to him. And as a friend and someone on the side, you know how your friends get screwed over and you just want to go and smack somebody. You go, yep. Wake up, yep. You completely mess that up. Stop it. Don't do that. But
stop doing it.
Stop doing that. Stop it. Yes. I mean, but I believe in nonviolence. So One of These Days came about because I was thinking, you know what? I don't have to do anything to, you know, for this to right itself. Karma will do my fighting for me. Karma will come around and there's going to be a point where there's a reckoning and I don't have to be any part of it. And I can sit back and be settled in the knowledge that, this guy is going to get what he deserves at some point. And I mean, I don't mean like, you know, death or, you know, anything like that, but the tables will be turned and he'll be, you know, there'll be a situation where someone treats him with the kind of disrespect and disdain that he treated her with. And maybe, hopefully for him, he'll have a realization that the way he's been handling business is not cool.
thought you bagged is bound to fade. One of these days, one of these days, you're gonna get what's coming to you. You're gonna get what's coming to you. You're gonna get what's coming. What's coming? You're gonna get what's coming to you. You're gonna get what's coming to you. You're gonna get what's coming. What's coming? One of these days. You're gonna get what's coming to you. You're gonna get what's coming to you.
Last one I wanted to ask you about was Hell of a Liar, and tell me about this, because the first time I listened to this, in fact every time that I've listened to this song, it's provoked a reaction in me that I'm looking for when I'm looking for new music, an extreme emotional reaction that kind of had me sobbing and wondering if I'm hearing what you're writing about or if I'm just hearing a part of me coming out expressed by you, because as somebody who spent a lot of their life on the sidelines being a bit of a wallflower, hoping that somebody would approach me, deathly afraid of messing stuff up if I'm inappropriate. It's really, it touched me in so many levels, Jim.
And I think because that song, it's a slow burner, and I designed it that way. It's one of the things with good songwriting, like, and I feel like I did a good job writing that song. When you get into it and you start looking at how you can utilize structure in the song, the phrasing, you know, keys, all that rhythmic phrasing, all that stuff, melody, everything can be utilized to get the audience to the place where you were when your intentions for the song came about. Yep. And my intentions when that song came about, it was about not being seen or about someone being too afraid to take that little leap, and that it had been dragging on and on and on and on, and had been this long, arduous, drawn out, we both know, and yet nothing, because of fear, you know? And so I designed the song to be a slow burn that then, you know, that then, like, the water breaks, the dam breaks later in the song, towards the end, where, you know, it's controlled and contained, and then the dam breaks and I let loose the river of emotion and regret and fear and all of those things. And I think the thing is I write it from where I'm coming from, Sean, and you hear it and your life and the things you've experienced kind of bleed into it as you're hearing it. Mm. And I hope that's what my songs do for people. Like because that's what good music does for me. Yep. You know, like it doesn't really matter specifically exactly what the song meant to the writer, because as soon as you record it and someone else can hear it, or as soon as someone else sings it, their interpretation is the thing that's the art in the moment. So yeah, I mean, it might be close to the things you've experienced, and that hopefully so, but that's just because us as human beings, we all experience a lot of similar things. It's part of the human condition. We're all feeling it, which is why music and songs can be so powerful, because we're not that far away from each other. We're not that far apart. We're actually much closer than we realize.
Can I just say that there's a Jen Mize vocal lick in there as well that is pretty much guaranteed to break me down into a puddle of tears every time you use it when you sing Eyes on this song. Is that an old Jen Mize weapon that you've been using for a few years?
Well, I have to thank all my voice teachers for the weaponry. Oh. They outfitted me well. My voice teachers over the years, some of which, you know, like were voice teachers that I had in person. Shannon Hume was my high school voice teacher, who was just amazing. And Monique Finney was my voice teacher at the Boston Conservatory. But then so many of my voice teachers have been, you know, the artists that I've listened to over the years, Sarah Vaughan and Bonnie Raitt and Chet Baker and Frank Sinatra and Lou Rawls. And, you know, I mean, honestly, just the names go on and on and on and on. So whatever tricks I have, I stole fair and square. And they just become part of you over time. And you almost don't even realize you're doing them, only when someone later asks you, you know, can you break that down? Can you tell me what you're doing vocally there? Then you have to take a moment and go, what am I doing there? I'm doing this, you know? I think it's similar to what happens with really great, you know, instrumentalists. You know, someone gets keys in their hands or a guitar or a fiddle, and it's an extension of themselves. You know, if you really master your craft, you can get to the point where, yes, you're thinking, but you're not doing all the technical thinking in the moment. You're expressing yourself. And that's what happens with those vocals sometimes when I find that bit that really gets at you. Sorry, man.
Oh, look, I'm going to listen to it again as soon as we finish our chat and go and spend my afternoon crying over it.
Well, I'll send you a box of tissues, buddy. You shouldn't have to go out of pocket for those.
I don't need your damn tissues, Mize. I'll let them flow.
All right. That sounds good. That sounds good. A little healing. Hey, y'all. This is Jen Mize from the Rough and Tumble, and you're listening to Blues with a Feeling with Shaky Sean.
You're a hell of a liar, I'll give you that. You got nearly everyone fooled. Just some good friends out for a night on the town. You're determined, you're keeping your cool. But your gave you away. It was a simple chance meeting, breath caught in my chest. You were the last man I thought that I'd see. End of the night, and we all gave just get it started? Can't we just get it started? Can't we just get it started? Can't we just get it started? Why 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 can't we just get it started?
Ooh.
Thanks for your company again this week, for allowing me this opportunity to share this love of music with you. From their debut album, that was Jen Myers and the Rough and Tumble, and What They Don't Know About Me. And before that, the incredible Hell of a Liar and One of These Days. Thank you for your time, and congratulations on the wonderful album, and my congratulations to all of you. What are your plans for gigs coming up in the future?
Well, we're applying to all those music festivals that everyone knows and loves. So we'll be getting out there as soon as possible. It is a big bus to get going, a large train to get out of the station. Sure. But yeah, we haven't done a gig since Tamworth. Because, you know, getting the record out is my full-time job at the moment, and doing mm-hmm. all the production and everything behind it, and getting people to hear it and share it around, that is like exactly, that's where we're at, and is the biggest help anyone can be for us at the moment. Or contact your local music festival and let them know you want to hear Jen Myers and the Rough and Tumble and want to see us live. We'll do the same, and hopefully we'll be able to announce that we've got some dates coming up, and it looks like we've got a few in the works. People are talking to us, and we're getting there. But nothing to say as of yet, sadly. But check back at the website and our Facebook page or Instagram page, and we will announce as soon as we can. But yeah, there's a few things in the works, so don't be sad. Things are happening.
Thank you for your time, Jen. It's a wonderful record.
Thank you so much, Sean. Love you, bro. Like, I mean, you do such great work. You make it fun to be part of a music community. I know here in Brisbane, but I know that your show goes out, you know, around the world. And there's so many people that, you know, tune in because they want to be part of that community. And you've made me part of that community. Like, I don't know if your listeners know this, but you were the very first person to play any of my tracks ever on the radio. And that means the world to me. I wouldn't be doing this. Like, this band wouldn't exist, Sean, if you hadn't played those tracks, because I would have just given up. I would have given up, brother. So it means the world to me. Thank you.
And I'll always remember the look in your eye when you told me that face to face the first time. It was like, well, it's good to be able to do this, to be able to actually do my bit. You know?
Oh, and you do such a great bit.
Don't you know you're a danger man? Don't you know the killer in your hands? Little games and little battle plans. Looking down from above. Shaking in his boots, has no chance to go enjoy his youth. Jungle creeping, got no parachute. He carries such a big gun. Doesn't that scare anyone? If it don't mean nothing when you take a teaches you.